It appears Ms. Johnson and Ms. Carlson are here.
Correct, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
Great. The panel is comprised of myself, Judge Wharton, presiding, Judge Johnson, and Judge Smith. This is our oral argument calendar on our remote platform, April 8, 2025. I'm going to ask our marshal called the last case to be presented for oral argument for consideration.
Calling 824-1632 in the matter of the welfare of the child of RAH and JPC.
A reminder to indicate your name and which party you're speaking on behalf of before presenting your remarks. Each of you will have 15 minutes per presentation. 5 minutes is reserved to appellate counsel for rebuttal if you choose to utilize that. And Ms. Carlson, when you're ready, you have the floor.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Ann Morris Carlson. I represent appellant mother RAH. We are asking that this court would reverse the district court's order terminating mother's parental rights and remand with instructions for proceedings that are consistent with this court's opinion. The question before this court is whether or not the district court's best interest findings are sufficient to effectuate appellate review. I am arguing that they are not because the court failed to consider the child's interest in maintaining a parent-child relationship. The court is required to weigh those three things: the child's interest in maintaining the parent-child relationship, parents' interest in maintaining the parent-child relationship, and competing interests, which include stability, health considerations, and the child's preferences. My read of this order is that the court is finding that mother's interest in maintaining the parent-child relationship is outweighed by the child's interest in maintaining residency at her group home. This is an extraordinary case with extraordinary child, a high needs child, a uniquely situated child, and what I perceive to be a differently functioning mother. And there were some facts, some unfortunate facts that led towards the agency's involvement in this case. But my fear with inadequate best interest findings and failing to consider whether or not the child has an interest in maintaining a relationship with her mother, with the only parent she's ever known, the only parent she's ever had a relationship with, and the family that she has through that parent, is that the effect of this order is essentially a transfer of custody, a permanent transfer of custody to the agency of an 8-year-old. The best interest findings are a highly subjective standard. And I understand that they are not generally susceptible to a global review of the record. They are not generally susceptible to this court's finding that there is an abuse of discretion. But although the court issued a very lengthy order, that order does not consider whether or not this child has an interest in maintaining a relationship with her mother. And in the absence of considering the child's interests, the findings are insufficient to permit for meaningful appellate review. Very recently, this court reversed, or rather, excuse me, remanded, where a voluntary, excuse me, where a private TPR petition was filed against father, and the district court found two of the three statutory bases pled existed, but the district court failed to weigh the child's interests in stability. And the court reversed in CJW and LSG A241591. Excuse me, the court remanded for proper findings. I think the same is required here. Best interest of the child is a paramount consideration. And where a child's best interest may preclude a termination of parental rights, even where a statutory basis for termination exists. That's In re Tang He, 672 Northwest 2nd, 623, at 625 and 26 Minnesota Court of Appeals. To reiterate, in balancing those interests, the court is required to consider the child's interest in preserving the parent-child relationship. The requirements are designed to balance a parent's substantial and important interests in a fundamental relationship with a child. In re KK, 964 Northwest 2nd, 915, 922 Minnesota, 2021. And the child's equally important interest in emotional and psychological stability. In re JJB, 390 Northwest 2nd, 274 at 279 Minnesota, 1986. I understood the court's order to be very. The court was clearly very, very unimpressed with mother's efforts towards completing her case plan, and I understood that from the court's order. I also understood that mother recognized that at the time of trial, it was necessary for her to file a competing petition. She recognized that this child's extraordinary needs were perhaps outside of what she would be able to independently meet. And then her parents were also unable to independently meet the child's needs without assistance from the agency. And the grandparents were given a very brief period of time to demonstrate that the child could be stably cared for in their home. Where this court needs to remand for proper findings, or the reason this court needs to remand for proper findings, is because although I agree with the district court, the child is at an age where she needs the care, guidance, and nurturance of protective adults who will not place her at risk again, even if that means she resides in a group home. By law, the court is required to assess whether the benefits of termination outweigh the loss of the child's relationship with a parent.
Counsel, may
In
I
re
ask you?
AJC,
Oh, excuse
please.
me. I'm sorry. So when I'm
You're,
looking at
please.
your conclusion and relief sought, you identify three errors. One about reasonable efforts, whether they were sufficient. Second, the failure to make adequate best interest findings, which you've, I think, been focused on today. And then third, denying the petition to transfer custodial rights. Is your argument today, or in your briefing, that, I mean, are they independent arguments, or is it that the failure to weigh one aspect of the best interest test is what's at issue in all of those? That's not how I read your brief, but I thought that you were finding clear error, for example, on denial of the transfer of custody. So can you just clarify for me what the argument is?
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate the opportunity to clarify. And I do think that the court erred in its interpretation of In re AS that a parent has to establish good cause that was lacking here for a transfer of custody petition to be considered by the district court. I believe that's clear error. And I do here today, after having the time to sit with the facts of this case, feel compelled to focus the arguments on best interests of the child. It's not to concede the other arguments. However, counsel for respondent states that failure to make permanency planning. Failure to do concurrent permanency planning is not a requirement that the court needs to look at when assessing if the agency has made reasonable efforts to reunify the family. I have to concede that's correct. The court does not need to look at whether or not the agency has made concurrent permanency plans when assessing if reunification efforts were adequate. The agency is correct. However, this brings us back to best interests. So the three arguments at the time that I wrote them, yes, those were my arguments, and the court understands them quite well. I appreciate that. But ultimately, what I need here is for the court to remand for proper findings. And I understand that the district court may make a finding that the child doesn't have an interest in maintaining the parent-child relationship. I don't believe that that's what the record suggests. I believe it's the only parent-child relationship this child has ever known. I believe the only family relationships she's ever had have stemmed from her relationship with mother. And I recognize that relationships with the grandparents would only legally be allowed through the relationship with mother. The court's order is well thought out. And I appreciate that the district court acknowledges what the balancing test requires. But in the absence of telling, in the absence of putting in the order how the child's best interests are outweighed by the loss of the child's relationship with the parent, I mean, the way this best interest analysis reads to me is it comes down to a placement decision. The child will remain placed at the group home. That doesn't necessarily support a termination of parental rights, because a parental rights includes the right to visitation. So the way I read this best interest analysis is we have the effect of a transfer of custody, a permanent transfer of custody to the agency of an 8-year-old, while the 8-year-old is also suffering the loss of a relationship with her entire family. I do not believe that the best interest findings are sufficient to effectuate appellate review.
Ms. Carlson,
I need to.
when you're referring to the best interest analysis, could you please provide us with the page number of where you are looking at when you are referring to that?
Brief moment, Your Honor. When I look at the best interest analysis, I'm looking at page 80 and 81 of the district court's order.
Can I draw your attention to page 64 and 65, where in the middle of the page, the district court is identifying the discussing best interest and with reference to the case law. And then district court continues some discussion until the top of page 66. I guess I'm wondering if you can explain why that is not an adequate discussion of best interests.
And I cited to these pages 64 and 65 in my brief, because the court does provide a number of references to case law, but this is not an application of the facts of this case. I mean, this is the, what the court must find. These are the requirements that are required, The child has an equally important interest in emotional and psychological stability in a home that is permanent and safe. I appreciate that the court identified the correct cases and the correct parts of the rules of juvenile protection procedure to tell me what the analysis should include. And the court is correct in that the analysis should include the child's interest in maintaining the parent-child relationship, as well as the parent's interest in maintaining the parent-child relationship and competing interests. But this is not an application to the facts of this case. This is legal argument. What is the court required to find? The court correctly identified what it's required to find, and then it didn't make the findings that conform with its own analysis. Its best interest findings are on page 80, and those findings indicate that mother's interests in maintaining a parent-child relationship are outweighed by the child's interest in staying at her group home, but it doesn't consider the child's interest in maintaining the parent-child relationship. And the child's interests, or rather, the best interests of the child are of paramount consideration. So even when a statutory basis for termination is proven, the child's best interest can preclude a termination of parental rights.
I'd like to clarify further your arguments. And a bit ago, you said that you that respondent is correct in its argument concerning contingency planning. I'm wondering, does that concession take care of the entire first issue in your brief, Roman one, or are there still other arguments there as to why the agency did not make reasonable efforts?
That argument. In a brief moment, while I address the court's question, and I'm sorry, I'm getting there.
If you'll answer Judge, your time has expired, but answer Judge Johnson's question, and then of course you'll have your 5 minutes of rebuttal.
Thank you, Judge Murphy. Your Honor, as we sit here today, I have to say that my first argument is in. I cannot withdraw an argument that the agency failed to make reasonable efforts, though I recognize that the agency is not required to have concurrent permanency planning as part of its demonstration of reasonable efforts. And I will hopefully be able to clarify the point in the next 5 minutes of my argument. Thank you.
Okay,
Thank
thank
you.
you.
Turn to respondent counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Elizabeth Johnson. I represent the agency, Scott County Human Services. Just to pick up where we left off, in terms of the reasonable efforts, I outline in my brief all the efforts that the agency took in reunifying the family. I do appreciate Ms. Carlson acknowledging the fact that in terms of a TPR, you don't have to, the court doesn't have to find the reasonable efforts related to permanency planning. While that is something the agency absolutely has to do as the agency, as reasonable efforts, generally speaking, it's not a finding that's required in the TPR order. Which I it, that's how I understand Ms. Carlson's concession. But turning more to the best interest findings, Your Honor, when, as I say in my brief, the rules of juvenile procedure only require that the court analyze the factors. We don't want to put form over substance by saying they need to have this line, this line, this line, this line. We want the district court to recognize the factors at stake, and then in using those factors, what's the best interest of the child? And in this case, Judge Weber did a very thorough job of explaining why the best interest of the child in this case, particularly the other factors at play, which is this child's need for stability, for her health and mental health, particularly. Why termination is in her best rights and best interest, excuse me. Something I do want to point out, Ms. Carlson.
Could I just stop you for a
Yes.
moment, Ms. Johnson? And I guess, again, I wanted to sort of pin down sort of which portion or of the order you're referring to. In your brief, you cite pages 80 and 81. Is that what you're relying on when you said that the district court did the correct analysis?
I'm relying on both 80 and 81, as well as 64 and 65, which I believe Your Honor did cite too during appellant's arguments. The reason why I think both are important is I think the very same reason you do is that shows that the court knew what the factors were. This isn't a question of whether the court didn't know what they were doing. They acknowledged the factors, they knew what was at stake. By citing to the correct standard and then applied it by focusing on what was important in this case, which is mother's interest in maintaining the relationship compared to the child's need for stability. In this case, Your Honor, we are talking an 8-year-old. We're talking an 8-year-old that has significant disabilities, has difficulties with verbalization. There's nothing in the record to indicate
the child's interest one way or the other in maintaining that relationship. So, of course, the court in this situation was focused on mother's interest in maintaining the relationship versus the child's need for stability.
Thank you.
Oh, something else I want to point to, Your Honors. Appellant seems to argue that this child is going to be in a group home for the rest of her life. That by terminating mother's rights, we've effectively cut off any caring adult from this child's life. There's nothing in the record to say that. Yes, the child is in a group home currently. Yes, the child has been in a group home since she has been taken away from her mother. But I'd also point out the fact that while the agency was trying to do that dual permanency planning and looking at the grandparents as other options, the child went to the grandparents. She went to the grandparents first for an overnight, then for two overnights, then for five days at a time. And I think it was 5 days at a time, it was supposed to be 3 weeks in a row. There's nothing to say in the record that this child is doomed to be in a group home and now with the termination, she's never going to have a caring adult in her life. That's just not the case. That's nothing in the record says that. So to say terminating mother's rights means that this child will not have a parent in her life, that she's unadoptable, essentially, is just not true. And Your Honor, moving on to the counter petition, I realize we're not really focusing on that, but just because that's still out there. In this case, in the brief, the appellant argues that there was good cause to transfer custody, and that she picked fit and willing relatives. And I'll just point to my brief that that's simply not true. Particularly in terms of the fit and willing. Judge Weber did a very good job in his order of identifying many, many reasons why the grandparents are not fit relatives for this child. They couldn't handle her for 3 days and ended up telling the agency they couldn't handle it. I don't know how that's error on the court's part in finding that they're not fit relatives. And Your Honor, with that, unless the court has any other questions for me.
It appears not.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
It appears not.
Then I waive the rest of my time.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. And back to appellate counsel, you'll have the last word.
For the record, Ann Morris Carlson, and I represent appellant mother RAH. I do have to respond that I'm not making an argument that the child will not have a caring adult in her life. That is nowhere in my brief, and I don't think that I stated that in my oral argument. My argument is she's not going to have family. She doesn't have the ability to maintain contact with her family. Family is different than caring adults. And I do not mean to disparage the group home, which I understand the district court found was providing extraordinary and exemplary care to the child. But not having any relationship with family members is what the effect of the order is. Now, I also understand Ms. Johnson's point. I did not put in my brief or in my argument earlier that this is an unadoptable child. But that weighs into the best interest consideration. Because normally, with a termination of parental rights, the benefit to the child is that the child can be adopted by parents that have demonstrated that they are willing and able to meet the child's needs. In the absence of concurrent permanency planning, we don't know how the child benefits from the termination of her mother's parental rights. Other than, I mean, I know that the agency benefits from no longer having to make reasonable efforts to reunify, but I have to guess as to how the child benefits from not being able to have visitation with her mother and grandparents. My ask of this court is to find that the district court's findings with regard to the best interest of the child are insufficient to effectuate appellate review. Because the district court did not weigh the child's interest in maintaining a relationship with her mother, and I understand the court gave great emphasis and weight to the child's interest in stability and permanency. But the order reads as a transfer of custody to the agency when we do not know if and when the child is going to have not a loving adult, but a parent. If there are no further questions, I would yield the rest of my time.
Thank you to both counsel for appearing today in support of your respective clients. These are hard cases. The matter is submitted and a decision will be issued in the statutory timeframe. That does conclude this court's oral argument calendar. We are adjourned.